Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and I'm joined today by Quentin Thurman, Russ DeMott, and Jessica Navarro. Welcome to the podcast, Jess. We will be finishing up the book of Acts today, looking at Acts 22 through 28, and we will be thinking a little bit about how's the book of Acts continued in our lives, specifically how do we as a church try to accomplish the mission of connecting, equipping, and sending. Let's get equipped. All right. Well, welcome to the podcast, everyone. We are finishing up the book of Acts. This is our fourth part four. This is part four of the summarizing the book of Acts for our Connect group leaders. And so how has it been for you guys so far reading the book of Acts for your own devotional reading or just what you've been reading recently here in the book of Acts? What's been standing out to you?
I think for me personally, I feel like Acts is a book that I read as a young Christian, and it's just one of those books that kind of seems to be on the back of your mind sometimes. You hear, you know, there are verses and things that stick out that you will always remember, but specifically reading through it this month, the Lord has showed me different things in the book that were just seemed new, just seemed that He really spoke. Took things that I've heard before or obviously have read before, but those things stood out more than they had in the past. And, you know, we talk about all the time in church that the book is living and active, but I think I was able to see that clearly just through reading it this month of the way that Lord had used the scriptures to speak to me in ways that I had not seen before. So I thought that was extremely cool.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, I think I'm like you. Like one of the first books I ever read in becoming a believer was reading the book of Acts. And so for you guys, I mean, maybe that's a better question of like, what has always stood out to you about the book of Acts, or what are some of your like favorite memories regarding the book of Acts?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's like the verse that we have for the equipping team. Like He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Like that has always stood out, but definitely to like piggyback off of what Russ is saying, I never really had, for me it was context. I never had context to where that that verse actually fit in, what was going on. And so I think that is really what's been revealed for me as I've been reading the book of Acts is the context of these verses that we stand on. Why were they said? Mm-hmm. To whom were they said? And really like what was going on through Paul's ministry.
That's such a good point. Like you, and that was one of my favorite light bulb moments is when you begin to connect the events of the book of Acts with who Paul is writing to and what's happening in those places. Mm-hmm. And you, like, as you're reading the book of Ephesus, going back and looking at Paul's journey through Ephesus, like when you're reading the Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where in the book of Acts is Paul wind up stopping through Corinth and just beginning to make those connections. Mm. But even now, as we're talking about it, like when I think of Paul's epistles, I think of this like fully formed, stable, like buttoned up church. Mm-hmm. And he's writing to something that is deeply established. But then when I read through the book of Acts, it's like this is like the wild, wild west of missions, right? Like where he's just moving through there. And, you know, of course he had to write them a letter. Like, of course there was stuff that he needed to write back and give counsel, and even like to the point where maybe even today organizations and maybe other churches would say like, hey, the pace at which you're like going, starting that, then leaving, maybe that's even unwise or even not a smart thing to do. Yeah. But Paul is seemingly, it's just interesting, like meets the Lord Jesus, is sealed with the Holy Spirit, sees other believers sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he has some type of like missional trust that God will bring to completion what he begins in the different cities that he goes and kicks up dust in. And so that's always been to your point, Q, something's always stood out to me about the book of Acts. It's like one of my favorite biblical light bulb moments of like seeing these things as they're paired together. But what about for y'all, Jess, Russ? What are some things from the book of Acts just in your following of Jesus over the years that really stands out to you?
I think for me, when I read Acts in the very beginning of following the Lord, for me, I always thought of the beginning of the church. Obviously, mm-hmm. you see that. But also, there was a different season of life where I saw community. Community stuck out to me the most. And so for me, I see it as like, I see such like the core of the purpose of community, because along with the church comes community. And I think though a lot of times we do just go over that, like the part of the community when it comes to the early church. And then also just like the Holy Spirit, and just all the things that come along with it. But for me, I had to go back and look at it, and I thought of like, I have so much, like, I know I'm a little late to this party of Acts, but I look back in the beginning and I see just like all the things I underlined and like just the beauty of just the beginning of Acts, of just starting the church and the Holy Spirit, and then like the community aspect of it all.
Is that a Bible that you've had since the early times of you being a believer? Or is that a Bible you've gotten here recently?
Well, this is like over a year.
So yeah, your Bible's got so many tabs and marks and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's the sign of somebody that really loves the scriptures, which is just really, really cool. But like I was thinking when you said that, of like going back and seeing things I've highlighted before, like there's an old ESV thin line Bible that I remember Billy bought me when I first became a believer. It had like this that fake leather with like a crown of thorns across the cover. And that sucker is underlined and written in, and margins and stuff. I still got it on my shelf in there somewhere. But that's that I remember the same thing about the book of Acts. Is like, that's important. That's important. Yeah. That's important.
Yeah.
And it definitely can. But I love what you said too, Jess, of like, it's funny you said that. Like the whole time we've been recording this, every podcast, we've tried to reiterate that this is the acts of the Holy Spirit through the actions of the apostles. And so the fact that you've kind of came in off the top rope on that here late in the game is really cool, just to see the consistency of that. Anything else for you, Russ?
I think to go off kind of what Jess was saying, we can fall into a monotone type lifestyle of, well, this is just Acts. It's the story of the early church. I've heard this, you know, so many times. But, like, really, there's a lot of meat on the bone when we really dive into that. And, like, how do we hold ourselves accountable to live a lifestyle that looks like what they did in being filled with the Holy Spirit? And then even specifically to, like, look at, I think, Jordan, you were just saying this, to look at the radical change in Paul's life and how fast that went. But then for me, again, just recently, it feels like the Lord kind of pulled back a curtain to where I could really see, I don't know, things that I've never seen before, and just really feel in tune with like what Paul was going through, and the way that his life had been so changed by his experience with God and the Holy Spirit. And ultimately it changed the whole pathway of his life. I mean, it changed his whole mission. It changed how he lived his life, the things that he invested in, the things that he saw as important. And so that's just super encouraging as a believer, but also just to kind of walk through almost like a more intimate relationship with Paul as you're reading the scripture, to see kind of, you know, everything that was going on inside of him during that time.
That's a great transition, because I mean, that's what what would lead a person to put up with what Paul goes through in chapters 22 through 28.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see if one of those commentaries kind of hints at it or mentions it. Again, we're trying to do a lot of this just like you would if you were at home preparing for a small group, or you're just doing your own devotional life and you're just reading the Word. And you grabbed a commentary, you grabbed a trusted resource, just to kind of see how would you piece this together in real time. But just trying to get a sense of like how long the time frame is from him beginning to get on his trials and be beginning this time where kind of backing up as it seems clear in the last couple of chapters that we've read, is that Paul tells the Ephesian elders goodbye at Miletus. He's warned that he on his journey to Jerusalem, he is going to be persecuted, that he's going to be that he's actually going to experience a good bit of suffering. And then chapter 22 seems to kick off the suffering that he begins to experience. And so he is dragged by a mob in Jerusalem into court. And there's just this mass confusion in chapter 21. But then in 22, Paul begins his defense. He gives sort of his bona fides. In verse 3, I am a Jewish man born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and educated according to the strict view of our patriarchal law. So he's saying, one, I was born in a Roman city, I'm a Roman citizen, and I was brought up by the most notable, most famous teacher of the day. Now, in verses 6 and the rest, he's telling the testimony of his Damascus Road experience. So this is going to be a lot of the same content that we've already seen earlier in the book of Acts, but now he's giving it in front of this. He's in court. He's been brought up on charges, and in his defense, this is what I remember we did a Bible study over the summer in college one year, and it was in Kate Shiver now, her apartment in Hawthorne, and we had probably 40 people packed into an apartment in Hawthorne, and I remember getting to this portion of like, if you were dragged into court for something that people were trying to bring you up on charges about, how long would you have to go before you got into your testimony? Of like, hey, I know you guys are trying, like, I mean, because he can play the I'm a Roman citizen card, but like he steers in the direction of like, let me tell y'all about how I met our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I just always think that part of Acts 22 is really powerful. But he does eventually hear in 20, like, it's just, he doesn't lead with I'm a Roman citizen. He leads with, I was brought up here, and these people should respect the person I was trained by, and then I've had a real encounter with Jesus. It sends him over the edge even further, and then he appeals to his Roman citizenship. Did y'all dig around and find anything in those commentaries? Not really. Awesome. Glad we got them. chapter 23. You're going to hear something kind of common in the rest of this, that the rest of this is just scene after scene of Paul in court and on trial. And the way I would position 22 through 27 and the rest of the book of Acts is this is the promise of the original vision that Paul had, that he felt like compelled that he was going to have to get to Rome. And so he goes from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and now he's getting to the ends of the earth. Towards the end of Acts, he begins to think about Spain. He begins to think about even further beyond Rome. He's beginning to make plans he's making plans about his missionary work beyond standing before Caesar, right? So one small like theological thing in that there, I mean, he writes to, in one of his epistles, I can't remember which one, he writes that like, I'd love for you to support me, one, after Rome, as I go on my way to Spain. From a theological standpoint, it seems like, I think we mentioned this when we did the Jonah podcast last year, of this, he feels compelled to make it as far as sin has reached in the Old Testament. Like he's going to the far reaches that he can imagine with his understanding of the Old Testament, that the good news of this Messiah being Jesus has to make it as far as sin has reached. And that's Tarshish. Then in his mind, like that's one of the things that's on the far reaches of that is he feels compelled to keep going as far as that. Acts 20, so again, the rest of it, 23, he's on trial before the Sanhedrin. They sneak him off to Caesarea by night. Eventually he stands before Felix in 24. Felix consults with him consistently about faith in Jesus, but is really looking for a bribe. It says he appeals to a guy named Festus who succeeds Felix. He stands before King Agrippa. So King Agrippa would have been the local ruler, the local Jewish ruler. Festus and Felix would have been the Roman rulers that were. So if you think about it, the difference in like federal government and state government, Agrippa would have been the state government. Festus and Felix would have been the national government, being Roman executives. He makes his defense before Agrippa. And 26, 27, he appealed to Caesar. One interesting scene there is that he could have gotten off if he didn't appeal to Caesar. Mm-hmm. But they're like, well, he appealed to Caesar, so we got to send him. So Paul seems more interested in being in chains and proclaiming the gospel to the furthest reaches of the world than being set free. Mm-hmm. Something interesting there. Mm-hmm. Then the shipwreck scene in chapter 27, he's stranded on Malta. My boy gets bit by a snake, survives it. People on Malta freak out. Then to Rome at last. I'll never forget when one of my favorite pastors, Tony Marita, preached this chapter. I mean, they went through the book of Acts over the course of like 2 years when I was in seminary or something. Chapter 28, verse 11. After 3 months, we set sail in an Alexandrian ship that had wintered at the island with the twin brothers as its figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, after making a circuit along the coast, we reached Rhegium. After 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found believers and were invited to stay with them. And this is the big one. And so we came to Rome. That's one of the beautiful, I don't know why I'm getting choked up talking about it, but that's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible of Luke as he records this. He's like, and so we came to Rome. Mm. Now the believers from there had heard the news about us and came to meet us as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. When we entered Rome, Paul was permitted to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And so the gospel, God is faithful to send representatives of the good news of Jesus as far as Rome. And this is, you know, again, kind of putting a bow on this part three of Acts as far as like digging into the text. I just want you to note, this is a sample, Acts 28, 11 through 16. This is just a sample that I think is fitting of what's happening in all of chapter 22 through the end of the book. Luke is taking special detailed notes for historical purposes that all of this would have been factually checkable, and he's preserved the historical reliability of these events. And so it is both the acts of the Holy Spirit as well as the actions of the apostles. And here Apostle Paul has made it to Rome. And so we came to Rome. The believers in Rome welcome Paul. He reasons with them, begins to do the same pattern of things that he's done and everywhere that he's gone. He goes to the synagogues and begins to reason with the believers to proclaim the good news of the Messiah. Verse 23, after arranging a day with him, many came to him at his lodging. From dawn till dusk, he expounded and witnessed about the kingdom of God. He tried to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. Can you imagine just day after day, from dawn until dusk, all you got is the Old Testament, and you're reasoning with somebody's coming in for a college kid's coming in for counseling with Jess, college kids coming in to meet with Russ, you know, new people from the life of our church are coming in to meet with Quentin. And all you got is the Old Testament, and you just reason with person after person from dawn till dusk, all things regarding the kingdom of God, from the law and the prophets. I just think that's really cool. Mm. Says, disagreeing among themselves, they began to leave after Paul made one statement. The Holy Spirit correctly spoke through the prophet Isaiah to your ancestors when he said, go to these people and say, you will listen and listen and yet never understand. Anyway, he insults them from the Old Testament. Therefore, let it be known to you that this saving work of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. After he said these things, the Jews departed while engaging in a prolonged debate among themselves. Then he stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with full boldness and without hindrance. And the book of Acts ends. I've always loved that the book of Acts ends as if there's more to come. There's just some strange continuation expected. I mean, so much so that, and it's kind of cliche, and even like there's a church network organization called Acts 29 that is supposed to be like, we are the continuation of the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus and have given themselves over to reasoning with people from the law and prophets regarding the kingdom of God. And so that's, you know, probably not the most eloquent way that somebody's ever wrapped up the book of Acts, but that's what's happening here in the end, is Luke is trying to provide a historically reliable record of the events of Paul's life to point to that this is a guy worth listening to, and this is the mission of God going from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and thus we came to Rome, you know, and to the ends of the earth. And so I just think that's really, really cool. So what has stood out to y'all kind of as we pick through some of that?
One word that I think about when I hear all that, especially listening to you just then say that, is the word relentless. Paul was relentless in his mission. And what would it look like in our lives and today to be relentless about the mission of God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one of our like staff cultures, right? Is that we are going to be a gritty band of believers, you know, that we want to be. Because, I mean, you look at everything Paul went through, like, at least once they stoned him to the point that they thought they killed him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's people picking up, like, pillow-sized rocks and throwing them at your head. And they did it long enough that they thought they killed him and succeeded, and they left him there, you know?
Yeah, and we talked about this last week. There were times where, against his own will, his disciples were like, we're not letting you go in there right now because, you know, just for the sake of your safety.
Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Yeah, I think what's really stood out to me and continue to stand out as we, like, continue to rehash it is really Paul when he's standing trial. Like, just from the very beginning to towards the end, like, as I read it and as we go through it, I'm just like, I don't know. I wouldn't have chosen to do what he did. Like, I would have thought, oh, you know, the best way for me to be effective for the gospel would be to, like, get out of this trial. Like, somehow, like, get back on, like, the mission, put my head down for a little bit. But, like, Paul, and whether it's through just, you know, like, discernment from the Holy Spirit or, you know, whatever it is, like, he's like, no, I'm going to appeal my case to Caesar so that I have to, like, all along the way, like, I get to proclaim the gospel to these Gentile kings. Like, I get to continue to proclaim the gospel to the point where, like, what really stands out to me is, like, with King Agrippa, where he's like, and I know that you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Agrippa's like, no, I don't. You know, like, get out of here. But, like,
would you so easily can win me over to be a Christian?
Exactly. He's like, whether short or long time, like, I pray that all would hear this message and be exactly how I am, except for the chains.
Right.
But, like, I just think that's just, he says it.
Yeah.
But, like, I just think that's so cool to think about. Like, we talk about obedience a lot, and we talk about, like, being an obedient Christian. But a lot of that, like, comes from discernment from the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm sure Paul received a lot of discernment from the Holy Spirit to make those decisions. And I just think that has really stood out to me of, like, the courage, the faith, to, like, I'm going to go in front of Caesar. That's my goal here, is let me proclaim the gospel to a Roman king.
And not to be like push my glasses back up on my nose, like, smarty pants, but, like, I do find it fascinating that they don't record Paul going before Caesar, but they do record Paul's ministry under house arrest. And it almost, like, it seems like Luke is highlighting, and there's different theories. Like, I'm sure one of those commentaries would lay out, like, Maybe Luke has to leave. Maybe Theophilus, the funding from Theophilus just runs out. Maybe there's could be, maybe, you know, who knows what happens. But to me, regardless of, from the practical circumstances, from the Holy Spirit circumstances, it seems that what the Holy Spirit wanted to record was not what Paul sounded like before Caesar, but the fact that he spent 2 years reasoning with people in his house from the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
And that what was more important was what was happening in the Christian community, what was happening in the lost community through the standard means of grace, which is the Spirit breaking out through the witness of believers as they reason from the scriptures. I think there's something really powerful that our Connect Group leaders should take from that, that you have all the same resources at your disposal that the Apostle Paul had for an eyewitness to follow you around and do a documentary called The Book of Acts, right? It's just hard to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. Mm-hmm. It's just not easy.
Yeah.
And but we see through Paul and through all the other apostles what's possible. I mean, it's fascinating to me that they don't, like, we, church history goes on to tell us that Paul was martyred eventually. He apparently get, like, you know, is able to leave Rome. Maybe he does go to Spain. Like, you're telling me you couldn't find another Luke-type figure to follow that guy around for the rest of the journey and record that? But obviously the Holy Spirit didn't want that recorded. But then he gets arrested again and is back on trial, and that's when he's probably martyred for his faith. That's what church history indicates. Now, textually, this is what the Holy Spirit chose to preserve, and that, to me, that's incredibly important. So whatever this is trying to impart to us, this is more important than the rest of the story. And so, anyway.
When I think of just, like, as we end with, like, Acts or the ending of Acts and everything, when I think of Paul, just, like, the words that come to me is long-suffering and relentless, like you said, and how I think it's just such an encouragement to know that, like, we go through so many things and we all of us suffer from different things. Some of it is loss. Some of it is hardships. You know, we're on this earth and it's not easy at all. But, like, how easy it is for us to throw in the towel and yet to look at Acts and to just get the synopsis of Acts and to know that, like, he was he persevered through it all, and yet with one little thing that is so hard for us, we throw in the towel. And so, like, that's so convicting for me to, like, read this and see, like, all that he went through, but he did it by the act of the Holy Spirit, number one, but, like, not for his flesh. Like, he, like, just all the stuff that he went through, he did it to go and to be with these people and to do just what he did, you know? And so, I don't know, I think it's so easy for us, though, to, like, throw in the towel and to go through the suffering and just give up, like, when we go through something hard. And so for me, I'm just like, I see this and I'm like, wow, to be like Paul. We're here, though, because of Paul, you know, and the disciples. So that should be an encouragement for us to, like, know who will be behind us, who will be the disciples that we disciple that will be the next disciples, you know.
Yeah.
I just, it's a domino effect. It doesn't just stop with us, and it shouldn't stop with us. Like, this should be an encouragement for us to continue on, because we are never, we are not going to be as wise as we can be until we see the Lord face to face. And so we have to keep going. We can't just stop here, and we can't just stop with those that are in our group. Like, there's a process in, like, multiplication, discipleship, all the things, just like we see happen here.
One thing I was going to say, Jess, and it just goes along with what you just said, is Paul embraced the call. He embraced the God's will for his life and embraced the trials and tribulations that he faced. And I think the same thing of I mean, I want to embrace God's will for my life. I want to embrace what that looks like, whether it is hardship or long-suffering. But I think that through that is the fruit of the multiplication and the disciple making and seeing people, you know, raised up in our connect groups or in our one-on-one or our triads, being able to teach that obedience and that embrace what's going on in your life. And it may be hard. It probably is going to be hard, but how do we embrace that in a way that glorifies God?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really good. I think there is, we shared with our Connect Group leaders yesterday the vision for 2025 that we want to really lay out before our, it'll really be for all of our church, but specifically within our Connect Groups, of a clear vision to deepen. Mm-hmm. We want to walk deeper with fewer people over the course of 2025. And that's one of the big encouragements to me seeing this as we wrap up part four of the book of Acts, is how what Luke again highlights, I'm not trying to be repetitive, but what Luke highlights is how Paul walked deeply with a few people at a time, mm-hmm. in his house through the word by the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference in Rome. Doesn't record what he said to Caesar, doesn't record all of the events of his life. It just was about what was the Holy Spirit doing. And it's almost like it leaves it on like an ellipses, like a dot, dot, dot of like, and that's just kind of what kept happening. Mm-hmm. And to the point where the gospel continues to spread through Europe and down through Africa and east through Asia. And that's the book of Acts. Any other kind of last statements or comments? What I wanted to kind of transition to, we won't spend a ton of time on this, but how do you see, so our mission as a church is to connect, equip, and send God's people. So how do we see that play out sort of in a microcosm throughout the whole book of Acts? It doesn't have to be just 22 through 28, but how do you see that play out over the whole book? Like anything stand out to you of that?
The thing that came to my mind first was something we talked about last week, and I was just trying to flip back to it, is the story of the Apollos and how he came into contact with Priscilla and Aquila, and they invited me in, realized that, like, hey, he understands, but he needs a little bit of training. So we see the connecting of them three, if you will, a triad. We see that, you know, they invite him to their home. They explain to him the way of God more adequately. Mm-hmm. They train him up, and then they send him out. And they even go a bit further to say, you know, like, hey, this guy's coming. Y'all surround him with community when he gets there and take the gospel forward. Mm-hmm. And so that's just one very small instance I see of that: connect, equip, and send.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then let's do it again,
mm-hmm. you know,
with the next person.
Yeah. That's a great one. I mean, that's a really good example where you get to see sort of all three phases. I mean, I think of all of these most recent scenes with 22, 23, 24, 25 of Acts, where Paul feels sent out. And as he's being sent out there, as he is looking to connect the message of Jesus with the people that are listening, meaning Festus, Felix, King Agrippa, even whoever that is right before Festus. Can we all agree Festus might be the funniest name in the Bible?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I have an uncle named Festus.
Uncle Festus.
But the but like they reject this message. And I think that's probably a lot more of a common experience for a lot of our Connect Group leaders and for us even, of like we're part of what can be discouraging, I think, for people about the book of Acts is like, why don't I see these events unfolding today?
Mm.
But there's a few moments where the Holy Spirit is doing unbelievable, miraculous things to solidify the witness of the apostles. But I think it's extremely important the way that it ends, that Paul just connected with people and equip those who believed.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they were fully equipped, he sent them out, like Timothy, like Silas, mm-hmm. Like Titus, and et cetera. Some of those examples. But consistently, there are people that are like, I don't know about that. You know, mm-hmm. like that kind of rejected the message that he shared. Any other ones that stand out to you? Like, I think the book of Acts is like a microcosm of our entire mission to connect, equip, and send. I was just curious if y'all had thoughts of any other examples that stand out to you guys.
I think for me, just I go back to the beginning because I love the beginning of Acts. But
it's the best part.
It is. But I think, like, in order to be sent out, you have to be connected. And the part that really caught my eyes was just the fact that in order for them to be sent, they had to be filled. Mm-hmm. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And so in order to be sent, like kind of like what we were discussing yesterday in the Connect Group Leader Rally, was just like, what was the question about discipleship, basically? Like, how do you...
What experience?
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's first and foremost, obviously. But I love that.
It was crazy because, like, the question was worded, what does a Christian need to experience?
Yeah.
But, like, everybody, like, the first, like, 5 minutes of the conversation was like, well, but have they actually been converted?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, have they actually experienced God?
Yeah.
But that's where the book of Acts starts.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just, like, tune in on that connect part. Because that's where you see they're connected and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then also connected with one another as believers and equipped in that area. And then obviously you see, like, sent out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, for our, like, so for our connect, equip, and send, we have the connect area. That's the guest services, next steps, parking team, worship gathering side of, that's like the connecting end. But a lot of that comes from Acts 2, 41 through 47. That they were, as the believers were together, they had all things in, they held all things in common. That overall vision comes from Acts 2, 41 through 47. And then Acts 13, 1 and 2, where as they were praying at the church in Antioch, the Spirit of God set apart Paul and Barnabas to the mission that he had been called to. And they fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and sent them out. So that's the sending portion of our strategy comes there. And Q hit on the equipping part. This is the Ephesians 4, 11 through 15 there. I think it's 15. But those couple of verses of God gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And so, I mean, all of those things are so tightly woven into the overall fabric of the book of Acts that I'm just trying to connect that, like, the things we do as a church, it's not just because of some slick evangelical marketing strategy. It's trying to look at what did the other followers of Jesus do when they first encounter and experience the Holy Spirit. And how can we continue to do that? How can we continue to be Acts 29 and 30 and 31 and 32? Like, how does, and just to think about, I mean, that's over 2,000 years ago, right? And he's still been faithful. He's still been consistent and working in people's lives to the point that, you know, he reached us. Like, we want to see those Acts 2 type situations where the Holy Spirit moves and 3,000 people get saved. But, you know, we also should have the grit and determination and also the vision to do what Paul does in Acts 28, to just reason with people house to house, witness to who we can, disciple who we can, and just keep doing that for as many years as the Lord gives us, and we will have been more fruitful than we could have ever thought or even hoped to be.
That's multiplication.
That's multiplication.
That's where we got it from.
That's it. That's it. What about for you guys? Just maybe to pull back the curtain a little bit for anyone that's listening about your own life. Like, how, and this is going to sound like the most Pentecostal question I could ever ask you, but... when's the last time you spoke in tongues? No, I'm just kidding. The question I was going to ask.
About 5 minutes after we ate that Chinese buffet.
This episode is brought to you by Happy Walk. That's why I have so much brain fog right now. I'm so distracted by everything. I can hardly breathe. I'm just dying over here. Apostle Paul would not be happy with what I did for lunch. That's the ends of the earth right there.
Oh,
but the question I was going to ask is, like, how have you, what, like, tell me about some Book of Acts experiences that you've had in your own life. When you think back to different moments in your life, like what is, give me your best, like what's the best, most Book of Acts story that you've ever experienced?
I'll go, Jordan.
Thank God.
And this probably is going to just sound cliche for people who know me, because this is such a integrated part of my story of salvation, but to see the connecting, the equipping, and the sending part of the Book of Acts, and to see when I got saved, you know, me and you were in college together, I got saved, then I got discipled by a fellow named Billy Shiver, and then right behind that, a guy named Michael Page, was in a connect group with Michael Page, and Will Tucker, who is now on staff at Connection Church, Billy Shiver is a pastor within our network, Michael Page is a pastor within our network. Funny enough, now I'm on staff here at Connection Church Statesboro. And so the faithfulness through the connecting of all those guys together, the equipping of all those guys through discipleship, connect group, and now we have sent out to where we have infiltrated numerous churches within the Connection Network is just, I tell people all the time, like I was spiritually born and raised in Connection Network. And for me, that's a big deal. And to see God's faithfulness through how he's carried that out with the people that I've been privileged enough to do life with. I don't think that'll ever lose its luster.
I mean, I love that, because you can see, I mean, I think that's part of it in like towards the end, like we were talking about with all the names, but like it's not just some mystical experience that Russ had in Greenhaven during college or whatever, right? Like it's a historical, verifiable life change, you know, with tons of people that have seen that and experienced that, and also have experienced the same thing. Like there's something in those days here at Connection that, I mean, that's my story, that's your story, that's Jess's story, that's Billy's story, that's Michael's story, like of people that got saved and their lives radically changed, and we accepted the message, were baptized, we were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. We had a holy sense of fear that came over us. Many signs and wonders were being performed around Connection Church. You know,
amen.
Like we just got to experience that. Jess, anything, Q, anything that came to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think like I was overthinking it for sure. But I mean, even
let me ask it in a Baptist way. Anything spiritual and cool ever happened in your life?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, just Russ talking about that makes me think of like my own experience of getting to where
I'm
at.
Let me non-denominationalize it. Anything lit and
high key
ever happened in your spiritual life?
But I mean, just thinking about like everything that had to happen for me to end up where I'm at right now, which is everybody's story in some parts, but like, you know, me and Caroline are originally from Illinois. Like I took a job coaching track and field here at Georgia Southern, failed miserably, maybe not, but you know, whatever, we're working through that. But you know, like that did not work out. And, you know, at that time thought I was a believer, but come to find out was not a believer. But like, you know, I remember like Caroline just was like, we need to start going to church. We need to find a church home. And just like, I think originally we're supposed to go to the other C church that will not be named down the road. But
the Catholic?
Compassion.
I know. I'm just kidding. I was seeing if you can rattle.
Whatever.
Unbelievable.
But, you know, the last minute was like, no, let's try Connection for whatever reason. Came here and then, yeah, like got connected for no reason, you know, met people who had no reason to like remember our name the next weekend, but you know, we'd see them and be like, hey, how are you guys doing? And you know, get just equipped, like get into a small group with Loy and Jace and see what it actually looks like for men to follow Christ and actually come to faith and you know, get baptized and then go through CLP, get a conviction on my heart to go into ministry. And I remember having a coffee with Will Tucker and I'm being like, man, I'd love to work at Connection, but I don't think like there would ever be a spot like that would open up. Like, what would I even do? And funnily enough, he was like, yeah, man, I mean, positions open up all the time. You just never know.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, year and a half later, bam, I'm Jordan's assistant. No, I'm just kidding. I'm the equipping
assistant to the regional manager.
Assistant to the regional
manager. I remember having a, me and Q went to Chick-fil-A and ate lunch, and he was kind of sharing his heart for ministry, and then I think we ate lunch again after he was on staff, and I was kind of sharing my heart for ministry, and now we're both on staff together. It's really cool to
sharing
to
an office, smelling each other's hands.
Yeah. Not quite. But yeah, I mean, just to see, like, I mean, literally, like, I was connected with, equipped, and kind of sent.
We'll send you one day.
Ooh, don't tempt me. Send me to Jordan's office.
I think of the, like, I mean, I just think, you know, not to, like, again, not to hyper-spiritualize, like, your story or whatever, but I just think of how unlikely, like, I just think of how many obstacles there were to you receiving the gospel. You know, you and Caroline were not living for the Lord, had, like, living together type obstacles that were an obstacle to, or at least an excuse that you could have used to stay in sin or to, like, not keep coming. And, you know, you guys are from a whole other state. Like, just, there's so many different, like, culturally, there's no reason that you guys should have wanted to be here.
Yeah.
But, and again, it's just another, and that's the one of the, like, I mean, just from going to seminary and being and living and doing ministry in different parts of the East Coast, like, I don't understand Connection Church. Like, I don't understand why lost people just wander into our doors. Like, we defy every missiological trend that there is of, like, lost people don't go to church anymore. Lost people don't just wander into a church.
And, like, they do here.
Boy, they do. Good granny, do they. And I'm so thankful for that. At the same time, I don't want to take it for granted.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
That's a lot of what we were sharing with people yesterday. Is like, this is, we're not really a church of 2,700, 3,000 people, right? Like, we're a church of, like, 200 or 300 people that are deeply bought into the work of God. We just have, like, a lot of onlookers. But if they disappear, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
So,
anyway, but I don't know why, Q, but what came to mind is that the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, where he's standing there, like, reading something from the scroll of Isaiah, and it's like, the guy's like, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy's like, how can I unless someone guides me? And then Philip walks him through, like, and explains to him Jesus from he says, and so Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus beginning from that scripture, meaning Isaiah, and just walked beside him in that. That's what, I mean, that's one of the verses that came to mind when you were telling your story on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could go a lot of different ways in the way the Lord has definitely did a work in my life, but, I mean, I was the disconnected here at Connection Church. I went from disconnected to connected and then equipped and then sent out, but, like, through a connect group. And so that's why I'm like, I am an advocate. I am the, what is it? The poster child for connect group. Because I just remember, like, I did come to know the Lord, but I was just separated and I really didn't get connected until I got into Casey and Morgan's connect group. And I remember, like, it was all work of the Holy Spirit because I knew of Casey, you know, being from here. But I came and I was being consistent. And it wasn't even, like, long after joining their group that they're like, we really feel like the Lord is, like, laid you on our heart to, like, ask you about, you know, leading a connect group. I was like, are you sure about me? And she was like, your vulnerability, your transparency, just calling me out in, like, leadership qualities that they noticed. And man, that was like it was a world change because the Holy Spirit was absolutely moving in my heart and in my life whenever they had, like, approached me on that. But I got connected into a connect group and then I was hungry and I was going to all of the equipping areas or events and like Close the Gaps and growth challenges and all that back when, I don't know what they were back then, but I was going to as much as I could. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I approached Jordan about CLP when it wasn't CLP. I don't know what it was.
Shout out but CA.
I was like,
I started CLP because of you.
And I was like, what are y'all doing? I remember Tara was like, yeah, you should ask Jordan about it. And I was like, okay, what is it? And then like, we started it and I was just like, give me more. And after that, the Holy Spirit convicted me of discipleship. I saw the importance of it. And then I started getting discipled by Macy. And then I just was like, man, it's literally a domino effect. Mm. Byproduct of the Holy Spirit moving in this church through his people, through Connect Group leaders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just, like, blown away right now. If anybody's even still listening, like, this is crazy. Like, I just look at the people in this room, minus Jordan, but, like, plus Jordan, like
which is, like, minus
all
or
of
plus?
Us, all three of us, everybody here, again, if you're still with me, everybody here, like, Jess, Russ, and myself, like, all of us are just random people who, like, came to Connection, mm-hmm. found our faith in some way, were equipped through the intentional desire that Connection has to pour into people that are showing some type of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And like all three of us are on staff. And I remember like myself, Russ, and Jess, like I've had conversations with each of you about like, oh man, I would love to work in ministry, but yeah. I just don't know what that would look like. Yeah. And like, it's just kind of crazy full circle right now mm-hmm. to think about like, we did it. Yeah. Well, not we did it. No. The Holy Spirit did
I wrestled with it because I grew up in church and I grew up as a pastor's kid and not seeing the beauty of it all, you know? Like, it was... I grew up in it, and I remember laughing whenever the Lord was putting ministry on my heart. And I was like, that ain't for me. And it was the Lord just softening and showing me that, like, it is for you because this is a part of my plan and not yours.
You know, and Q, you mentioned staff, but I think about even the faithfulness of God of people, some of our most
consistent,
meaningful, consistent, loyal, whatever word you want to use, members of our church that still have that same like criteria. Mm-hmm. They still were here, got connected, mm-hmm. got equipped, and are sent out, and are some of the best disciple makers we have in the church. They're just not in vocational ministry, and some of those people I just have the privilege of being really close with mm-hmm. and getting to see God work in their lives from a different perspective than it being my own life. And that is such an encouragement too.
Yeah.
I think about like James and Morgan and you know, mm-hmm. Tara and Jace, people that Jess and Q have both mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, just people that you've been able to walk alongside and see God's faithfulness in their life just as much as mm-hmm. it's been in your life.
Yeah, the Deloaches, the Warrens.
Yeah, I mean, there's just the list goes on and on and on and on.
The Cohens, the Jacksons. I mean, so many people that, and for Justin and Anna, like, they are so thankful for one another because they have helped elevate each other to a higher spiritual level and to begin to follow the Lord more closely. I think this is what's true. Again, another Book of Acts moment for all four of us. Acts 4:13, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men.
Amen.
Amen to
they
that.
Were amazed. Worms.
What are we, Key?
We're worms. And recognized, but this is the important part, that they had been with Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And since they saw the men who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in response. Mm-hmm. Like, something about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's just nothing you can say in response mm-hmm. to that. You can't deny the goodness and power of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Billy always likes to point out that word for uneducated and untrained men is the Greek word idiotes, which is where we get the word English
Let's
word
go.
Idiot.
Absolutely.
Idiot.
But I don't know that a Greek professor would love the application of that. But for podcasts and preaching purposes, I sure do. So.
Yeah.
This uneducated, untrained, but like just the thing that should be remarkable about us is Jesus.
Absolutely. Right?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit working through us. And in that regard, just like all the apostles, we can have a remarkable life and be remarkably fruitful because of a remarkable Savior.
Yes.
And so
just all over again, just hearing just all of your stories is just like, it puts you in a place of awe.
Yeah, it's like people say, like, oh, man, I'd love to see miracles like they did in the book of Acts. But it's like, we do. Yeah.
We
like,
see them every day.
listen to me talk and listen to you guys talk, but it's like, that's a miracle. Like, it's a miracle that I'm where I'm at today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good deal. Well, that's the book of Acts, everyone. I would encourage you, more than just reading it for head knowledge or even just reading it for heart knowledge, like, this is something that I encourage you to go and live. Put your hands to this. Go and reason with people from the scriptures. Go and share the gospel with people. Go and take this into your prayer life and
get taken into court.
Yeah. Go get brought up on charges for Jesus. Chris would go do that in a heartbeat. But yeah, we love you guys. We're super thankful for I just really believe that there are connect group leaders now that will be church planters and pastors and missionaries in the future. Mm-hmm. And so we don't believe that because of any type of special process that we have here. We believe that because we believe the book of Acts is true. And so we want to continue to believe that for more and more people in the life of our church. So we love you guys. We will catch you on the next episode of Equip.
Peace.